This Cybercrime Magazine podcast is published by Cybersecurity Ventures. Visit us at cybersecurityventures.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ruth with Cybercrime Magazine, and I'm here with Dr. J, who is at our studios this morning. Thank you for coming, Dr.
Yay.
J. Dr. J is the deputy CISO at MasterCard, and she's also our CISO ambassador.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Today, we're talking about security awareness training at organizations, and this segment is sponsored by Inspired eLearning. So, Dr. J, we're so excited you're here. And we wanted to begin a little bit about what your background is and what do you do exactly for MasterCard currently?
Right now at MasterCard, I'm the deputy chief security officer, but I've been a chief security officer for Fortune 500 companies since I left the White House. At the White House, I was the deputy CIO, working for President Obama, modernizing technology infrastructures for Camp David, for Air Force One, and inside of the White House. So I have a big, vast career in technology and cybersecurity. I have a vast career in public sector and private sector as well. I'm a certified cryptologic engineer, and so I've done a lot. I've done a whole lot, and I think I've been able to, thus far, bring all of that experience together to help different organizations in their journey with cybersecurity.
Well, we are so happy you're sharing this information with us today.
I'm so excited to be here.
And you have a lot on your plate. And we would love to know, since we're talking specifically about security awareness training today, could you tell us how many employees work for MasterCard?
MasterCard has roughly, I think we're at 14,000 employees right now. And so, you know, when you think of 14,000 employees, that's 14,000 different ways you can kind of get into MasterCard. Or, you know, you think of how vast the problem is for companies. You just need to look at your employee set. That number kind of indicates all of the different ways, at least, that an adversary can get in. So when you think of cybersecurity training, you have to educate every single one of those employees and make them feel like they have something in it.
So Dr. J, you've done this before. You most recently were a CISO for Xerox, and now for MasterCard. So we want to talk a little bit about the financial service companies and their unique needs. When it comes to training employees compared to manufacturing or other industries, what is the approach? Could you share that with us?
I think we may approach it the same way. When I think about, you know, me as the deputy CISO, and then thinking of my friends who are CISOs or, you know, in those security executive position, we all do spear phishing training. We all approach it in the same way. Our threats are different. Our threat vector comes from much different areas depending on the industry. But we manage cybersecurity awareness in much the same way. We have a passion for it. We understand that our employees are very, very important to us and the key to a lot of what we do to make us successful. But it only takes one employee to kind of bring the whole company, you know, down, one click. We are all very, very, have very, very heightened awareness to that.
Could you share with us some of the training that's being done?
Sure. At MasterCard, we do monthly spear phishing training. In fact, it's probably one of the most aggressive places that I've been, which makes sense. And financial payments and technology space, it makes sense for it to be as aggressive as it is, which is a good thing. But aside from the cybersecurity awareness training, and that message comes from the top down, that importance comes from the top down, because even the presidents of the different business units or business groups have competitions amongst themselves on what the click rate is and kind of things like that. So it's very, very important within our company. Aside from that, we do different other activities. We have an escape room that we've set up that's kind of touring around globally now, going to different countries and different places around the United States. But the escape room is, I think, one of the most brilliant things that I've seen so far in terms of cybersecurity awareness training. We set up a room, have all of these different, you know, stations in it, and you can't get out of that room, you know, kind of, until you answer all of the different puzzles or put all the pieces of that puzzle together. And it's really, really neat, a different way to enforce cybersecurity awareness because we've set it up with that theme in place. They can take away that, that level of engagement increases the awareness, right? When you engage more, you have an increased awareness and increased knowledge, and you soak in more information the more you engage. We have to make sure people know those tools are out there, right? We have to make sure people know what is appropriate and what should be clicked on and what should not.
So, you know, again, talking about the security awareness training, I mean, compared to even 5 years ago,
right?
How much has this changed?
So much, because spear phishing has changed and spear phishing has continuously changed. You know, people don't know the term. I would say the people that you meet who don't know the term may know the methodology. They may know the essence of what it means, but they may not know that specific term. And so as spear phishing continues to change, and now there's a term called whaling as well, and, you know, you've got these different methods. The key to it is, are you clicking on something you're supposed to be clicking on? Are you transferring data that you're supposed to be transferring it to? Are you entering your credentials into a verified and trusted site? Those are basic things. So no matter what you call it, no matter what the adversary now throws at us, we can't forget the basics.
Good advice. Dr. J, you know, you brought up an interesting point, because one of the people I happen to interview, many of them are from the IT industry, and, you know, they don't even know the term spear phishing,
right,
or whaling. Mm-hmm. So there are terms out there, like you made a comment earlier, that they don't know the terminology.
Right. And I said, you know, I think I said, or I spoke a while back, and I had said that it's a marketing issue, that we're going through kind of a marketing issue with cybersecurity. Right. And that's exactly what it is. We as technical people are calling it a specific term. And like, my mother would not know what spear phishing is. My dad wouldn't know what whaling is. He's going to look at me like, what are you talking about? But if I said, Dad, did you get an email the other day asking you to put, you know, your credentials in from a banking site that wasn't really a banking site? He's going to say, yeah, I never opened those up. You don't have to tell me anything about that. So it's we have to make sure that the language that we are using internally stays internal, and that we're communicating in layman's term externally. That goes for, I mean, that speaks volume when you're talking about training people on cybersecurity and cybersecurity awareness within your company. I don't expect HR or finance, you know, the finance department to have to learn cybersecurity terms. I expect them to learn that I'm going back to my basics. I'm not entering in my password, into sites that aren't verified. I'm not opening up attachments from people who I haven't verified have sent me the attachment. I'm not transferring money into an account until I've picked up the phone and made a phone call and known that this is actually valid. You know, I've done some extra steps to validate the information that has been sent to me via an email, or validate the information that's been sent to me in a phone call.
Okay. Based on all the training you've done, Dr. J, have you found anything that was surprising on your end regarding the security training awareness programs that you're implementing?
So there was a breach about 6 months ago.
Scary
I would say about
word.
Six. I know, but it was actual breach. It's in the news. I won't pick on the company and say who it was, but it was about 6 or 7 months ago. They were breached, and what the attacker did was take the cybersecurity awareness training email from a cybersecurity awareness training company. They were using it for training for one of their customers. The adversary actually took that email and used it against the customers. And it was just, and they thought that it was a real, real email. It was so compelling. It was so believable. And I think that is what surprises me, is the level of sophistication, right? You cannot ever sit back and think, I've trained my employees, I've trained the staff, my company, they know what to do. No, every single moment I see a email that's more sophisticated than the other. And that's because I'm going back to kind of something that we talked about earlier. They're learning. They know me. They know me personally. They know you. They know you because of Facebook, right? They know, you know, anyone, right. Anyone, you know, who is not even, you don't even have to be connected on social media. Everyone has a digital footprint. And the adversary somehow has if you've been breached by a credit reporting agency, if you've been breached by a bank, if you've been breached by retail, your information is on the dark web. Okay, so they learn about you. They know your mother's maiden name. They know your favorite color. They know your car. They use all of that information, not just to answer your secret questions, but they know that information to say, hey, we went to high school together. We went to college together. How did you like Dr. such and such and so and so that was your teacher? And you're thinking, oh, I don't remember this person, but they know my teacher's name. Oh, I like that person a lot. You know, and you're still kind of hesitating and thinking, wait a minute, does this person know me or do they not? But you're still engaging. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so that's how sophisticated the adversary is. They are playing now. It's not a quick game. That's the difference between 5-10 years ago to now. 5 or 10 years ago, it was a quick game. It was, let me get what I need to get right now, right now. Let me see what I can get. That's what the adversary was thinking. Now they're playing the waiting game. I'm going to, you know, send you an email. Hey, how is your sister? I heard your sister was in the hospital. How is your niece? And, you know, I know your niece is in college, you know, kind of things like that, just to get some level of comfort. And then later on, after you validated, oh, my sister's fine, thank you for asking. Okay, now they're going, taking that bit of information and learning and learning and learning. And then they have now waited and engaged with you and made you feel comfortable so much down the line that when they send you an email, you're going to click on it. Or when they send you an attachment, you're going to click on it. And again, that's where those heartstrings come into play, right? That's why people are the weakest link. And I think that's what surprises me is now the level of sophistication.
Right.
Before it wasn't all that sophisticated, to be honest with you. It was surprising because we'd never experienced it, but it wasn't all that sophisticated. There were misspelled words, bad grammar, angels flying around on the email. I mean, it's not that sophisticated. But you think about it now, you know, it's very sophisticated.
It's so authentic.
So authentic, right.
You know, it's, you want to laugh, but you really want to cry,
right?
Because it's just happening so quickly. And, you know, how do you keep up? And I know you talk about this in a lot of your interviews. How do you keep up? It's so fast paced. And what keeps you up at night? And it sounds like I know it keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
You just shared that with us.
Yeah. Spearfishing keeps me up. Because, and I've said this, I can put all the technology and tools in place and still have someone click and still have someone enter their credentials into an email. That it keeps me up. It keeps me up because I know that our employees and employees of other Fortune 500 companies or not just Fortune 500, let me step back from that. Small, medium-sized businesses, Global 2000, whatever bucket people sit in terms of how they categorize their company, employees don't have malicious intent, not normally. They don't normally have malicious intent when they're entering in their credentials into a malicious site or clicking on an email. And that's, that's why it bothers me. That's why it bothers me so much, because I know there's no malintent from the employee. And if there's no malintent, people really, really, you see people really, really feel bad when you tell them you just clicked on an email and they're like, oh my gosh, really? I can't believe they got me. You know, people really feel bad about that.
I would.
I mean, I would too.
And knowing the type of person I am, mm-hmm. I would be, it's devastating because
yes.
You're putting a company you're working for at risk.
Right.
But
you know, companies now have cracked down and are now implementing consequences as well. And it's unfortunate. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to, I know and am very familiar with companies that after 3 times clicking or 4 times clicking, they've let people go. And it's a hard thing to do, but unfortunately, it's so serious.
It's necessary.
It's so necessary. Yeah. It's so serious. It's a serious problem.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yes.
So how often is the security awareness training done? Is it weekly? Is it, and I'm sure it's mandatory.
Yes. So the you know, most companies have the official web-based training once a year. At MasterCard, like I said, we do a whole bunch more. We do the spear phishing. We do ours once a month. There are many companies, most of the time, I think the typical or the average may be quarterly. There are some companies that even just do it twice a year, which I think is ramping up to, you know, the frequency is ramping up. Aside from that, you know, there are always activities throughout the year. So it doesn't have to be a specific training that you're sitting in front of or you're sitting listening to someone talk to you, but it is that engagement. And so I would really love to see that word change from cybersecurity training to cybersecurity engagement, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a training exercise. When you say training, you're thinking of coursework.
Right.
It's not necessarily that. It has to be more than that. We have to go now to the engagement side to get people to understand and to make it resonate. A lot of times training doesn't resonate. Engagement resonates.
It's true. It's more friendly.
Right.
And it doesn't sound as serious.
Right.
And more people might be open to it.
Right. And it's a better exchange. It's a back and forth exchange. And it's a more personal and resonating back and forth exchange when you're engaging on that level. Like I said, we have speakers come in from outside, and you know, we make sure that it is not a very, very stuffy or rigid training. It is very relaxed. It is very comfortable. We had a comedian come in and talk about cybersecurity and, you know, him going through different spams and responding to the person on the other end, you know, and it was a nice quip on cybersecurity and spear phishing, but it really made people sit and think, oh, yeah, I got an email like that, too. You know, it really resonated with everyone.
It's so clever, the comedian.
Yes, is actually very, very, very clever. Very, very clever.
I mean, you seem like you're being very creative on your terms. Mm-hmm. And
because we have to be creative because the adversary is being creative. And so if we're gonna play this game, then I have
bring
to
bring it.
Right, bring it. Because I have to continue to be creative. I have to continue to be forceful in my creation and you know, creative in my creativeness, you know, kind of.
It seems to be working great, Dr. J.
Yes, I'm hoping so. And I'm hoping we can continue on that path.
I hope so too. I wanted to also talk to you. I'm curious to know about the new hires that come in. Mm-hmm. Now, is it obviously it's beneficial if they do have some cyber experience in terms of just the basics? But is it more appealing to an employer when someone is very savvy, like let's say at MasterCard? Or because it's like a whole new level for young people who are applying for these jobs.
I don't know if I don't know. I think that's a good question to ask. A good question to ask to people who aren't in the cybersecurity world or technology world, people who are in marketing. Are marketing people asking other marketing people, do they have cybersecurity experience? Do you know what a spear phishing email looks like? I don't know if that's part of the interview questions. I think on my side, we assume, and maybe it's a light assumption, but I think I'll back up from that word and say we think there's an awareness, because so many people have been impacted by one type of breach or another, right? And if you haven't been impacted, you know someone who has, or you've read about it in the news, you know what's going on with retail, you know what's going on with banking, you know what's going on with technology organizations and companies that have been breached. And so that level of awareness makes you a little more astute. So you come in with that level of astuteness. I don't think anyone is completely ignorant to cybersecurity issues as a whole. As a whole, I think everyone, every single person has some level of awareness because they know someone who knows someone, or their identity has been stolen.
Absolutely.
You know, or, you know, just you name it, you probably know someone or your aunt knows someone, you know, right. or something like that.
It's moved beyond the Nigerian
right.
friends.
Right. It has.
And it's really, you can't get away from it.
Right.
It's all over. It's in the newspapers, on the radio, podcast,
yep.
television. So mm-hmm. I think we're going to be winding down, Dr. J, but I did want to ask you regarding smaller companies. How do they protect themselves, the mom and pop?
So smaller companies have a large challenge. And I think Fortune 500 companies, and I'm just going to narrow this down to Fortune 500 because that's the space that I've sat in for a while now. But Fortune 500 companies have partnerships with small and medium-sized businesses. I think those partnerships, we talk about those partnerships a lot when it talks about us expanding our services and, you know, working with smaller businesses to help expand their business. MasterCard actually has a small, medium business cybersecurity toolkit that is absolutely free for small and medium-sized businesses that we have worked together with lots of different companies to bring in these tools that we can offer for free. And I think if people go, and if you go to the MasterCard site, it's part of our small, medium business consortium and cybersecurity toolkit. You'll see it there. But it talks about all of the different tools that you are able to use in order to help keep your small, medium-sized business, I'm not going to say free from cybersecurity risk, but it will help lower your risk. And all of these are free tools that we've negotiated and partnered with other companies to be a part of this toolkit.
What a great idea.
It is. I think it's a great service. You know, it's a great service and a great heightened awareness, just showing that we understand the problem. Here's, you know, it's not an entire solution, but here's definitely going to get you more, you know, further than you've been before.
Definitely. And the fact that it's free.
And the fact that it's free.
Is amazing. And it shows that you care at
right.
MasterCard.
Right.
And does a free pair of shoes come in that?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't get a free pair of shoes.
So on a final note, Dr. J, what are some final comments you want to make? I mean, you know, it's the holidays coming upon us.
Yes.
And I think that this is a time when hacking and breaching is probably at its peak.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't paying as close attention. They're out doing whatever they're doing, shopping online,
right.
shopping in the brick and mortar stores.
Mm-hmm. What I want to get across is that your data is out there. You mentioned this is the shopping season, but I will tell you this. This is also, for a lot of big companies, this is open enrollment for benefits. This is open enrollment season as well. And so hackers are taking advantage of that and calling saying, I need your social security numbers because I want to verify some of your open enrollment choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be vigilant. You have to be aware. You know, we talk about cybersecurity awareness, but I want to just take it away from that and say, you just have to stop and be aware of the moment.
You
right?
have to be in the moment.
You have to be in the moment. You
yeah.
have to... I always joke about this, but I probably have enough credit monitoring to last me until I'm 80 years old. I have to be in the moment and say, you know what? I need to put a calendar reminder on my calendar every month, once a month or once every 2 weeks to check my credit report. I have to do that to make sure that what's there is there. I have to check my Cash App, my PayPal, to make sure that no one's taking out 10 cents every single day. Right?
It's so true. It's like more work on your part.
Right.
But the
And so that goes past creative passwords and, you know, not clicking. It really makes me put in the work to know where my data is. That is my job now. My job is to know how much money I had in my account yesterday, how much do I have today, and what do I think is coming out tomorrow so I don't miss 10 cents. Or my job is to make sure that I have all of the notifications on, because banks have been very, very helpful. The financial sector has been very, very helpful in making sure we have the information that we need. We just need to educate ourselves to make sure we're getting it. I have notifications turned on for my banking. So anything that gets deposited, anything that gets transferred out, my husband laughs at me because he'll transfer like $25. And I'm like, what did you go in my account for? What are you doing? And he's like, how did you know?
We know.
Because I have my settings set.
I have the same.
So that I can know. So I can get that done. So I can know.
Right. That's pretty funny. Dr. J, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It's
I
been
loved
fun.
Having you. I want to go shopping and get shoes with you now. So thank you so much again. And this segment is sponsored by Inspired eLearning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Cybercrime Magazine podcast is published by Cybersecurity Ventures, your trusted source for cybersecurity facts, figures, and statistics. Visit us at cybersecurityventures.com